Hare Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhi Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, page 18. Vijaya, how many varieties of Rajasundari are there? Goswami, there are three kinds. Sadhana Para, gopis of sadhana. Devi, gopis previously devis. And Nitya Priya, eternally dear gopis. Vijaya, are there varieties of sadhana Para gopis? Goswami, yes, the sadhana Para gopis are of two types. Yautiki, linked to yutas, groups, and Ayautiki, not linked in groups. Vijaya, who are the Yautiki? Goswami, the Yautiki take birth in Braja in groups, having been immersed in the sadhana of Braja Ras. The Yautiki are further subdivided as Munigana and Upanishad Gana. Vijaya, which Munis, does that make sense?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Which Munis took birth in Braja? Goswami, the Munis who are worshipping Gopala but could not at that time attain perfection gained great impetus in the sadhana by seeing the beauty of Sri Ramachandra in Treta Yuga. After then accomplishing their sadhana in Gopi Bhava, they were born as gopis in Vraja. This is substantiated in the Padma Purana. The Brihadvamana Purana states that some of these Munis attained final spiritual perfection at the beginning of the Rasa Lila. Right. Yeah, so in other words, these groups means they were practicing sadhana as a group. So these sages, these particular munis, and they were together, right? At Dandakaranya, right? Generally, yeah. So they when they saw Lord Ramachandra, they became more inspired because they were worshiping Krishna in the mood of the gopis. But it's with Ramachandra they got the blessing that they would actually attain to that position. Right? So then the Puranas then explain how then they appeared as gopis in Vrindavan, and it says that then some of them attained the final spiritual perfection at the beginning of the Ras Lila. That's where we see that the Krishna, having played his flute, all the gopis tried to go. So the eternal associates, they went, those who had come to that stage of purva raga, that complete attachment to Krishna, they were able to go. And by the sounds of it, many of these munis also, they were able to go. But some of them didn't. So the ones that are talked about that they couldn't go, they got stopped by the relatives, then they're the ones that, then at that time, in their meditation on Krishna, that became complete. So all their pious and impious activities were removed. And then they could go to the, some of them at that time immediately went, and some of them, if they took more meditation, then they perfected themselves on that evening, and then they went to the next rasa dance. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Vijaya. How did the Upanishads attain the status of being born as gopis in Braja? Goswami, endowed with very subtle and fine spiritual perceptions, the highly elevated personifications of the Upanishads were astounded by the good fortune of the gopis. By meditating deeply and worshipping the gopis with profound devotion, they were finally born as in Braja as gopis. Right. So here the Upanishads mention subtle and fine spiritual perceptions. So they're looking at everything, right? Because Upanishads means this is the knowledge of the Vedas, right? The actual conclusion. So they could see from there, being the personified Upanishads, that the conclusion was bhakti, and of this bhakti, the gopis, they had the greatest, right, affection. Because in the Upanishads, you see, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is pulling quotations from there that refer to Radha and Krishna and the gopis and rasa and everything like that. So they, being the Upanishads, they understand this, right? Others may not. Other Vedantists may not understand this, but they do. So then they began worshipping the gopis, you know, and then with time, then they were also then appeared in Vrindavan. Yeah. Yes.
Can we say that those specific gopis, they have different moods? Are they influenced by being the
No, it's, it means any influences there would be what keeps them from necessarily coming to that perfectional stage earlier. It just means it takes a little longer. But as you mentioned here, he didn't say that they had any difficulty. Right? It's only it appears that the Muni's Gana, they had, you know, just, it just took them that, you know, part of the evening or that evening, that extra bit to come to that perfection. So, yeah, so it's because conditioning is within the material world. Once you get into the spiritual world, you don't have conditioning. Just there may be some fragrance from that habit of doing for so long that the mentality might still have a slight touch to it. So all that's removed, and then they can take part in the pastime. So once it's removed, then there's no difference. Right? Does that make sense? Once everyone comes to prema, there is no difference. Does that make sense? It doesn't matter where the background you came from. Does that make sense? Yes? No?
Upanishads, I don't understand. Because if they have Vedic literature, the condition is highly moral goodness. What's their problem?
So that's a problem?
If that's material conditioning and it kept them from coming to the residence.
But it didn't keep the Upanishads. It doesn't mention about the Upanishads, it's about the Munis. The Munis, it said, states that some of the Munis attained final spiritual perfection at the beginning of the rasa dance. So that gives it, you could either take it that some of them did and others didn't, but we knew that they all did, so that means some of them already had, and then some of them at the beginning of the rasa dance did. But we even see is that there, another way you could take that is not even that part, is that having gone to the rasa dance, then being there at the rasa dance, then when Krishna had the pastimes, then the difficulty is each one thought that they were the most special. But the point is no, Radharani is the most special. So therefore Krishna then left the rasa dance. Right? And then by leaving the rasa dance, then they were able to see Radharani's feelings of separation. Because the whole chapter explains how, what in their feelings of separation, how much they were absorbed in the pastimes and what was happening. And so, but when they met Srimati Radharani, then they understood she was even more absorbed. So then everything fell in line. Because if you have a group of ladies, and if you want it to function as a proper unit, the first thing you have to establish is who's the boss, like that, because there can only be one, right? You know, and then after that, then the hierarchy comes down. So once you establish Radharani, then it's very obvious who's close to Radharani, right? So therefore, the Astasakhi are there, and then you fit into your place. You know what I'm saying? So the whole thing is establishing who's the one. So that was established, then everything could function properly. Then they could have the rasa dance, because then Radha and Krishna can dance in the middle and watch everybody else, right? Does that make sense? You know, so Krishna's watching his expansions interacting with her expansions. So it's kind of, you know, it's... Yeah. Does that make sense? You know. Okay. Vijaya, who are the Ayutthiki Sadhana Para Gopis? The Ayutthiki are extremely attracted to Gopi Bhava and eagerly channel this natural ruchi into their sadhana with deep anurag, attachment. There are two types, prachina, established, and navina, new. They take birth in vraja, either alone or in pairs or in threes. The prachina ayuta gopis have attained salokya with the nityapriya gopis a long time ago. The nava ayutika gopis are taking their initial birth as gopis in vraja. Okay. The Navina Ayutthika Gopis are taking their initial births as gopis in Braja. Yeah. Through the species of devas, humans, and other suitable beings. Gradually they are converted from Navina to Prachina and attain Salokya, as I have described earlier. Okay. So in other words, these are persons that are not in the big group. This is just they come either alone with somebody else or in groups of three. Because that means that they have that kind of closeness of relationship. So with those persons, they are interacting and discussing their sadhana. Mm-hmm. Right? So they then is that, then they take birth in Braja. Mm-hmm. Right? So they're completely new. And then those who are more mature. Right? So the prachina means that they're more advanced, and the navina they're very new. Right? So then they may just appear, and so then they have to get that association. So the prachina means that they are getting the association of the eternally liberated gopis, while the navina haven't yet. Yeah. So the salokya, they're on the same planet as the nityapriya, right? So they're taking advantage of that, while the navina. Than they have yet to. Right? So it says gradually they are converted from Navina to Prachina.
Same planet means Goloka?
Yeah, Goku. Yeah, because until one comes to Prema, then Goloka doesn't have much meaning like that. Right? Because it's the same place, it's just a matter of the attitude. So one's trying to develop that attitude till it comes to the proper standard. Is that? Yes.
So Maharaj, it seems that there is always a principle of association among the
so, so that's why it's mentioned that the association of Vaishnavas, you know, who are more advanced, that's the key to the whole process working. Nothing else actually works like that. It means we can say, well, I can chant, but on your own, how will you chant? Yes. It's only by the association that chanting becomes dynamic. Does that make sense? So the whole thing is always about association of devotees. And for Krishna, why did he expand from Atmaramata to Pararamata? Right, association, right? Association of the devotees. So therefore, that's the central feature, is association of devotees. Yes?
Isn't Krishna self-satisfied by the association?
He is self-satisfied, but then you get even more satisfaction by associating. Yes, please. Yes.
Maharaj, when you're talking, when you're saying association, do you mean Vani or Vahu or both?
It's whatever. Whatever you can get a hold of. It doesn't matter. Association is association. Because the point is it's what the individual is doing that's important. It's not just being there with them. Otherwise, the demons are also there with the Brajavasis. Right? No? Yeah, but it's not that they're exactly, you wouldn't call that Vaishnava association. Right? Because they're not taking advantage of the example. You know? So, one who takes advantage of that, that is what one's looking for. Is that okay? Vijaya, I can grasp the description of the sadhana para gopis. Now kindly explain who are the devis. Goswami, when the amsha, partial expansion of Krishna, incarnates in Swarga as a deva, The Nityapriya gopis also appear there in their amshas as devis to please Krishna. Similarly, when Krishna appears in Braja Gokula, in his Purna Rupa, full expansion, then these devis also take birth in Gokula as the young gopis known as the Prana Shakis. The Prana Shakis engage as assistants to the Nityapriya Shakis, who are the Amshanis, fountainhead sources, from whom these devis originally emanated as amshas for service to Krishna in his forms as particular devas in Swarga. Does that make sense? Sorry. So Krishna himself, as he takes incarnations in Swarga, then his internal potency also takes birth there. Now when Krishna appears in Gokul, right, then he's the complete form. So that means all the different expansions of his internal potency are also there. So those who are always the eternal associates of Krishna, then they're there as the, what is it, Nityapriya Shaktis. Right? And then these ones who are expansions of his incarnations, they also appear there as assistants to who they expanded from. Right? Doesn't make sense?
No, it's too complicated.
No, it's just Krishna is there with his eternal associates. Right? Now, when Krishna expands into the heavenly planets, then his eternal potency expands into the heavenly planets. Right? So all it is that when Krishna appears in Gokul, those devis that appear in the heavenly planets, they come and appear in Gokula as assistants to who they originally expanded from. Right? Well, it's just like Radharani's there, she expands into the Astasaki, so the Astasaki assists Radharani. And then the Astasaki, they expand. So like that, the process just keeps going on.
And those devis, they still remain there as well? Multiple expansions?
Can. It means if Krishna's still there, they'll be there. But if he's not there, then they may not be there. But in other words, it's those potencies are coming. Right? Because we're dealing with something subtle here, just like we were saying. The husbands are simply the personification of the gopi's mood that I have a husband. Right? And so, therefore, that personification is the husband. Right, so that's why in Goloka there are no husbands, because they simply have the mood that I have one. But in Gokul, that mood manifests as an actual husband. Right? Does that make sense? So the whole thing's, you know, subtle. Therefore, the Upanishads, who are good at subtleties, were able to appreciate and therefore appeared. So, Vijaya, at what times does Krishna accept an amsha expansion in Swarga? Goswami. Krishna's Swamsa Rupa, direct partial expansion as Sri Vamanadev, the son of Aditi, and his Vibhinamshas, separated partial expansions, appear as the devas. Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma were not conceived in a mother's womb, and although they are not on the level of the ordinary jivas, who are endowed with meager qualities, quantities of the first 50 qualities of Krishna, meager quantities. They're running the whole universe, right? Like that. You know, somebody considers himself pretty good here if he can, you know, manage to get out of bed and there's actually a floor. Right? You know? Yeah, and he doesn't fall through. Right? So, like that. So here's someone who's managing the whole universe and he's doing that with a meager manifestation of the 50 of the qualities of Krishna. Still, both Shiva and Brahma are Vibhinamshas, partial expansions, separated partial expansions. Since they possess the 50 qualities to a high degree, plus in limited quantity 5 additional qualities that are not normally found in ordinary jivas, they are considered the chief devas. Ganesh and Surya hold similarly a high position in the material cosmos and are worshipped with respect equal to that given to Shiva and Brahma. But all the other devas actually belong to the jiva tattva category. Mm-hmm. Right, so here is Ganesh, Surya, Brahma, and Shiva. They're not considered within the normal jiva tattva category. Mm-hmm. Right, because they're extra potencies that are there. Right, Ganesh's expansion of Vishvaksena. Right, you know, one of the Lord's eternal associates, like that. Yes.
I've sometimes been preaching to people who know a little about Hinduism, and this is a very difficult topic.
Which?
You know, how is Shiva Jiva Tattva or Vishnu Tattva?
No, he's Shiva Tattva. He's not.
Yeah, but that's where it gets. Yeah, exactly.
Well, the point is yogurt milk or not?
Yeah.
Right, it's a dairy product, but is it milk?
No.
It'll never, but milk can turn into yogurt, but yogurt can't go back into milk. It's dairy products, so it means it's the expansion, it's the transformation. That's why it says separated partial expansion. Right? And Brahma is manifest from, but it's the jiva who takes that position. But the Lord himself can also take the position if there's no qualified jiva.
Mm.
Right? Mm. So, but he's only manifesting a particular amount of the potency.
Mm.
Right? Mm. And then Surya, the sun god, then that's also a great amount of potency that's there.
But Shiva and Brahma, are they Tathasta Shakti?
No, Brahma's generally a jiva.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Shiva's not. No. He's in between the jivas and the Vishnu Tattva. Mm. So he's not Shakti, he's not Vishnu. He's in his own category.
Unique?
Yeah.
Unique?
Yeah.
Whereas sometimes the sun is described as the sun planet, and sometimes as a personality on a chariot riding through the universe. What is the conclusion?
Well, how is God described?
In different ways.
Yeah, so it means you have Brahman, that's the sun rays, then the Paramatma, that's the sun planet, and then Bhagavan, that's the deity in the same.
So,
because like now, we can say, is the sun up?
Yeah.
But can you see the sun?
Yeah.
So how do you know the sun's up?
Light?
Yeah, so the sun rays. So it's by the Brahman aspect of the sun that you can tell the sun's up.
But I mean, is the sun then a fall or a person with a chariot and horses?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Means the person with means you have a means. If I turn on a, let's say 100 watt light bulb, can you see the light bulb?
You can see the brightness.
Yeah, but can you see the light bulb?
Not really.
Yeah, so. You know, multiply that times, you know, some billions. Are you going to see the light bulb? No. So the person sitting on the chariot, you're not going to see them. You're only going to see the sun glow. And even that you can't look at. You can appreciate the sun rays. Right? Because they're just not qualified. But those who are qualified, they can be in the sun planet, not a problem. That make sense?
So he's on his chariot on the planet.
No, he's on his chariot, and the planet is, you know, his expansion.
I think of like side by side.
You have Bhagavan and you have Paramatma. Is there a problem?
No.
So then the sun god and the sun planet. Like the stars that you see in the sky, those are persons in the heavenly planets. You know, great personalities, and you appreciate them as stars. Right? It's like the Big Dipper, the seven rishis. That's Vishishta and the other great rishis. Yes.
Just don't group.
Therefore chant Hare Krishna. Everything gets better. See, the thing is the girl. So, which is she? Means I need a definite answer, otherwise I can't sleep at night. Is she a daughter, or is she a wife, or is she a mother? She can't be all three at once. She's one person. How can she be all three? You have a problem with that?
No.
So why should you have a problem with this?
I don't have a problem.
called, but I don't know realization. So that's my main problem, is that I don't know realization.
Realization. Okay, so then if that's the problem, then don't worry about it. Realization comes with time. You chant, you contemplate, then you'll figure it out. Yeah.
So then according to this description, actually the Panchopasana of worship is bona fide.
It is. It's a Vedic system. It's a bona fide system. But the problem is that one is not seeing a connection to the Lord. Therefore, that's where the problem comes in.
But they think they're all on equal level.
They're all equal, and it's all like this, and Vishnu's in the mode of goodness, and you know, each any one of them could be supreme, because actually it doesn't matter, because Brahman is ultimately. So that's where your problem comes in. It's because they're seen like that. But the point is if you understand that they're all expansions of Vishnu, then by worshipping Vishnu, you don't have to separately worship them. But that's why the Vedic system is here. There's, you know, Brahma, Shiva, Ganesh, and Surya, and then Vishnu, who's their origin. So that's the Panchopasana. Does that make sense? Yeah, but as Vaishnavs, then Vaishnav means you worship Vishnu, so you don't have to separately worship the other. But you see, generally in the Vaishnav rituals anyway, Shiva's respected, you know, Brahma's respected, and Ganesh when they begin, but when they do installations, you're always dealing with sun, moon, and fire, and all the different, you know, all the different parts of that. You know, so I think it's the 16 parts of the sun, the 12 parts of the moon, you know, I forget how many parts of fire, I think it's 10 parts of fire. When you're installing, like, the where the conch goes and everything like that, then these are all put, or in the kalashes and all that. Generally, most don't do it because that's all part of the, you know, more technical, like worship. Most, that's, you know, just that you're actually going to sit down and be clean, you know, that's like pushing the limits, you know. Let alone having to worry about that little stand there that you're going to put the conch on, that you have to install the sun, moon, and fire in it. Right? You know, and then all the different parts of it. Yeah. Yeah. So they're all included. Yes.
You were talking about how Vashtasakhi is expansions from Radharani and then expansions from them.
Yes.
Down like that. So could you explain a little bit? It seems to me like there's a progression downwards, like there's expansion downwards, but what does that make us? We must be expansions from them ultimately, and when we go back, back up, there's expansions back up, or
no, it means downwards. What do you mean by back up? What do you mean?
Like re-merge from where you expanded from, or what?
Why, you want to merge back into your father? What that would be cool. What would be the benefit?
No, but I just don't understand it on that spiritual point of view. Like,
no, the spiritual point of view is easy. However, you can understand because the material conception. Spiritual is clear. It's because of the material clouding that we can't understand it.
Yeah.
The point is as Krishna he expands, then all the expansions are conscious. You're an expansion, that's why you're conscious. So you want to merge back in someone else and then not be conscious, or what? What's the benefit?
So you can create consciousness?
Who's creating consciousness?
Krishna. When he's expanding, he's like creating a new living conscious entity? Or?
They're all his potencies. They're all, they're eternally there. He has unlimited energy. That's why it mentions there specifically three, internal, external, and marginal.
Right? You're eternally there, then.
Yeah, but it's just...
Before you expanded.
You were always there. It's just a matter of being manifest. The spiritual world is the eternally expanding. So that means all those Vaikuntha planets that are expanding were always there. And the living entities on them are always there, but they're not manifest. See, the difficulty is trying to trying to take unlimited and fit it into, you know, a small amount of gray matter. Does that make sense? I mean, it's just that when somebody gets married, is there potential of children?
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of manifestation.
But before there's manifestation, there's no church.
But the point is it was already there. You never heard the you never met somebody that was like a, you know, went to school and went to college with your father, and then they said, "Yes, I knew your father when you were just a gleam in his eye." You never heard that?
No.
No one else ever heard this one? Yeah. You guys heard? Okay, so you're moving in the wrong circles, you know. You know what I'm saying? But that's just to give an analogy. But the point is you can only go by your experience. So this is beyond your experience. So then you just have to understand this is the way it is. I may not realize it, but that's just the facts. Yeah, and we won't get into that. Because I could explain it, but if you can't catch that one, you're not going to catch the rest of it. So. Yeah, but it's very, very simple. The point is Krishna's there. When Krishna's there, it means Balaram's not there, but Balaram, that's when he expands into Balaram, right? His all energy is there, he expands Radharani. Means he and his potencies are always there. So all the unlimited aspects of Godhead and all the unlimited aspects of his potency are always there. It's just a matter of whether he manifests it or not. He is everything, so that means everything's always there. It's just a matter of whether you see it or not. That's a, you know, instead of, because you're trying to go from gross to gross, you haven't caught that gross comes from subtle. That's all. You know what I'm saying? Let's say you go to a restaurant, okay? And there's a menu. You can choose anything you want on that menu. And then it will manifest. Do you understand? Because the cook has all those things in their mind, so they can make all that. You understand? Because the gross comes from the subtle. Okay? Thus all the devas are the vibhinamshas of Krishna, and their devi wives are vibhinamsha expansions of the chit shakti of the Lord. Right? So they're expansions from these potencies. You know, Brahma, Shiva, Surya, Ganesh, you know, these are the primary ones. Then all the 33 million demigods, they are also all, how do you say? Unksas of the Lord. Right, that potency. But it's an office. There's a jiva in that position. Right? Does that make sense? But that potency that they can, like Indra can manage the universe, or Vayu can control all the air, or Varuna all the water. That potency is Krishna's potency. But there's a jiva there that is allowed to do that. Does that make sense? So in the same way is that, therefore, every one of those demigods that have that position, we're not talking about the ones that, you know, just go there to have a good time. We're talking about the ones that have a job to do. Right? So there's 33 million. Then they have, naturally, then their consorts. So those are, because that is the potency of Krishna, that the demigod can function, there is the potency. The internal potency also has a match that goes with that. So that's their wives. Right, just like you have Indra, and then you have Sati.
Sati.
Right. Does that make sense? So that Sati, she is the goddess of fortune, the material one, where everybody wants money, right? Where they just want the goddess of fortune with no Vishnu. That's Sati. Right. So the one there with the elephants and all the gold coins, that's Indra's wife. That's not Vishnu's wife. It's an expansion of Vishnu's wife. Because she's the goddess of fortune. So that expansion that deals with mundane money, that's her. Draupadi is that, she is the personification of that potency. Does that make sense? It means that Sachi, then there'll be so many goddesses, so many jivas will go through that. Right? Does that make sense? But then there's that potency itself. Does that make sense? So that potency, that's what's appearing in Vrindavan as a Braja Gopi. Does that make sense? Not specifically that jiva. That's the potency. Because those are the ansas of the original eternal associates of the Lord. Yes?
Why, if Krishna can control everything himself and do all these things, why does he bother putting the jivas in like that position and then risking them to get in here and then
I mean, this is like the father, he can run the business himself, no? Why involve the son? Or the mother, she can cook lunch herself. Why involve the daughter? She can also iron the clothes, she can clean the house, she can do everything. Why involve the rest of the family?
Yeah, but they're naughty. They forget Krishna.
Yeah, but the point is, you know, the mother's there cooking, the daughter's there helping, and they're interacting. Is that nice or not? She can do it herself, but is the interaction nice?
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, so then that's the whole point. It's
but,
nice.
But it's not nice when those cows and calves get stolen and all this stuff.
Yeah, but it still works out okay in the end. You know, it's also not nice when, you know, Calvin decides to play baseball in the living room. But.
Yeah, but a lot of people getting flooded and then having to lift their mouths, and then that's a lot more trouble than a flat screen recording.
Yeah, but the point is it's actually less trouble, because for Krishna, whatever he desires happens. So for him to lift the Govardhan Hill, that's not trouble at all. For the parent to go out and get a new flat screen or to apply, especially if they have to apply for the insurance, now that's trouble. But for Krishna, it's not a problem. It's fun. What are you going to do?
What am I going to do?
Not you. What's God going to do? He's going to sit there? you know, he can't pick his nose because he's, you know, the supreme pure, so there's nothing in his nose to pick. So, you know, what's he going to do all day?
Hang out
and do what?
Be satisfied.
That's, he's already doing his Atmarama. But he expands.
But what about the residents of Vrindavan? They're so scared.
Yes, but the point is they're already expanded. It's already too late. See, Atmarama means there is no Brajavasa.
Okay.
It's like this. There actually is a situation in which being with other people all the time is nice. Okay? Does that make sense? You know? So, just because, you know, being in the material world hasn't worked out so good doesn't mean that the spiritual world, that's why it's being shown as the alternative. Right? Does that make sense? So that means the Vaishnavas were the original alts. Right? You understand?
I'll have faith in your words.
Okay. Yeah. Yes? No?
Yes.
Okay. It's funny, it's like you either get a blank look or it's okay. And then one or two actually caught it. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Theoretically.
Okay. Just but we start there. But you're comfortable with that theory. Okay. There is a place where you can actually get along with people.
Right.
And they don't bother you, because you know, because you're with them eternally, so they better not, right? So that's the difference between go cool and go loke. Go loke means nobody bothers each other. Go cool means you might, having just come from the material world, still, you know, do something that's not ideal. But that's where the training is. Therefore, by associating with the eternal associates of Krishna, then you give up anything that's not favorable. And then you come to that platform where you can eternally actually be with others without driving yourself or them nuts.
But then there's the demons. Like, what are they an expansion of? Because they're in Vrindavan, the perfect place.
Yeah, but that's why the Tathasta Shakti is there. Tathasta Shakti means you can have internal and external at the same place at the same time. So the demon thinks he's in the material world.
Okay.
And the devotee is there in the spiritual world.
Okay.
Like that. So he doesn't see it as a spiritual place. Because the material elements are there. So he only sees the material elements. He doesn't see the spiritual.
For the purpose of the pastime?
Yeah.
So that's his service.
It's not necessarily that he's thinking I'm doing service for Krishna. It's just that Krishna being perfect, then everything that he's involved with becomes perfect. So therefore, even though it's just demons, they're there for their own purpose. But still, they get engaged in the pastime, and it works out very nicely. Because the whole point is perfection is being absorbed in Krishna.
But if Krishna does these things like make the service, like Jatila and Kutila, like that's their service, why
does
he do that with the demons? Wouldn't that be a nicer, better idea?
No, it's not necessary. I mean, it's just the demons are demons, and they're doing their demon stuff. And so, therefore, Krishna interacts with them. Why not?
They're right there in the spiritual world. They're so close.
Yeah, but they don't see the spiritual world. It's just like here. Are you in the spiritual world or in the material world?
I'm in the spiritual world.
Okay, but do we ever, you know, find some obstacles here that we wonder, why is it like this?
Yeah.
So that's the material world part. Yes.
May I when a devotee has reached Bhava,
right.
Leaving their body,
right.
So the potential there is to achieve perfection after they quit the body, do they... Must they go to Gokul first to get the training?
Yes.
Get transferred to the
Lord? Yes. So unless within the body they've already gone through the stage of bhava by meditation and come to prema, then they could go directly. So it's technically possible, but it's very rare such a thing happens. Yeah. So the point is, and Gokul, it's the same pastime, so it's not a problem. You know, same people. You know, so it's a great show, so no one minds it. You know. So it's not a weakness that one went to Gokula and didn't go to Goloka. It's not like a social matter of social prestige or something. And it's not that when you get to Goloka anybody makes any distinction anyway. Does that make sense?
I was thinking as if we reverse the situation and demons, they have a material consciousness in spiritual situation,
right.
Then we can actually develop spiritual consciousness in material
situation. Yes, yes, that's the whole thing. It's be able to understand that consciousness is one thing and your situation is another. So the idea is whatever the situation, you have spiritual consciousness, then you're qualified for the spiritual world. Because that's the whole point. The demons are in the spiritual world, but they have material consciousness, so they're actually in the material world. So that means anybody who's within the spiritual environment, but if they have material consciousness, they're in the material world. You know, it goes both ways. So that's the nice thing, is one can be situated, even though one's in the material, you know, geography, one is in the spiritual world by consciousness. So it's like the yogic Brahmins, they're geographically in the spiritual world, but by consciousness they're in the material world. You know? That's the whole thing. Everything's quite subtle. But we, you know, like to define everything by time and space. That's where the problem comes up, because time and space can't define unlimited. You know? Yeah.
I have different opinions about this. So are there any demon killing pastimes in Golok or only in Gokul?
There's no need of that in Golok.
Yeah, so there's no demons in Golok.
not as such. Like that.
It's only here for the
it means show. Here they're actual demons. There they're not. They're just manifestations of the Sundini potency. But they're not actually killed.
But the pastime's still the one?
Yeah, but they come out a little differently. Like Aristasura, after Krishna defeats him, then he takes him and ties him up in front of Lord Shiva's temple at Nandagaon. You know. And Krishna does go to Mathura, but then he comes back. Mm. The point is it's all about the moods. It's not about what actually physically happens. We're so worried about what physically happens, and then only it's real. It's the mood that's actually what's real.
Yeah. Well, my question was basically, there is that, so with the Bhagavatis, can I get that ecstasy of like, oh, Krishna's fighting with the demon. That's
but the point is also, you're making a mistake that you think Goloka and Gokul are different. They're the same place. Just, there's the manifestations, whether it's within this part, the one-quarter part of the cosmic creation, or in the three-quarters part. But it's the same place. But you have your car, and, you know, you get, step out of your five-star hotel, the valet brings you a Ferrari, right? You get in, you drive off, okay? And then you go down to, you know, West LA or something like that, and go to your favorite, Mexican restaurant, okay? So now you're within the material world, right? So that's why when you come out, then you find your car's on bricks and there's no tires. Right? But it's the same car. You understand? You're here in this building. Now, if you walk over to that building, is it a different body? It's the same thing. So Gokul and Goloka are the same place. It's just where they're manifest, either within the spiritual energy or within the material energy.
And one is when you live eternally and when you don't live eternally?
They're all living eternally. Means it's the same people, the same associates.
You're saying you have to go to Gokul here?
Yes, because there, Gokul is being the reason that the spiritual world can manifest within the material world is because of the Tathasta Shakti. So therefore, then all those Tathasta elements of the Jiva that are still, by fragrance, still manifest, those can be removed so that one comes to Prema, so you're qualified to go to Goloka. In other words, if you haven't come to the local level of prema, you're not in Goloka. You're only in Gokula. Right? Gokula deals with bhava. Goloka is prema. But it's the same place. Because Krishna and his eternal associates, they're always on the transcendental platform. They're always functioning in prema. Right? So they come and perform the pastimes. Gokul means new people can come and join the party. Does that make sense? So they're joining the party on the platform of bhava. Right? Now it's just a matter of that bhava maturing into prema. Then they'll be eternally involved in the pastimes. Otherwise, but Gokul and Goloka are the same place. Material consciousness means time and space. So how are you going to understand something spiritual by demanding that spiritual fits into your concept of time and space?
Well, I'm just trying to understand.
That's there, but you're trying to understand it by mundane logic. You're not surrendering to the concept and allowing it to manifest within your consciousness. You're demanding that it manifests to you in the way that you are comfortable with. Which is what they taught you in school. That's the problem. Yes?
Maharaj, yesterday in the class you mentioned about facts.
Fact, yeah. It means that's the point. He wants facts, but he can't understand truth. You know, and facts meaning mundane facts. Spiritual facts are also there. It's then you have to be able to go beyond the mundane. Is that it may not make sense, but that's the fact. It's the same place. It's the Lord's pastime, so they're just manifest here. You know, it's like the king. he comes, let's say, the king is traveling from his palace and he's going for a vacation, right? So, let's say we go back, you know, 60, 80 years, like that. So, they get on a train. Of course, it's their own train. But, you know, then one bogey is just for the king, his wife, and the direct family members, right? And then another bogey is just for the servants and all their luggage, right? Does that make sense? In other words, if you took all the luggage they're taking on their little trip, it might fill up this area here, like that. And so when he goes and sets up somewhere, they basically re-manifest his whole palace and all his activities and everything that goes on. You understand?
So he has his original palace, which is a different place.
And what is the point of this? But what advantage do you get that Goloka is, by your, you know, determination, a different place? But what advantage do you get? What are you proving?
No, it's just everything Satchitananda rather than material.
But here, Krishna in the material world is Satchitananda. All his associates are Satchitananda. The Dhamma is Satchitananda. But the point is, Tathasta Shakti holds together that those of material consciousness can also be there. You look at the deity, what do you see? Right? But someone else, a karmi, looks at the deity, what do they see? So is it two different places?
So one place has the Tathasta Shakti and one place doesn't.
The manifestation, yes. So it's the same spiritual world plus the Tathasta Shakti.
Right.
But it's the same place. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Maharaj, you said before that the difference between material and spiritual is that spiritual, you know, for example, in the material world, that's doing something with the mood of for Krishna's pleasure or serving Krishna. So there are times where I really I do want, like, I really am in that mood of, okay, I really want to please Krishna, and I still have problems. So aren't I in the spiritual mood?
Your spiritual mood, yeah.
So then why is there problems?
Because you're geographically in the material world. See, you're working with, see, it's like this. There's two things. There's the consciousness, and then there's what you're working with. Right? So there's spiritual or material consciousness, and then there's internal or external potency.
Yep.
So you may still be dealing with internal, that spiritual consciousness, but you're still dealing with external potency. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So what
means material consciousness, external potency, those go together really nice, right? Spiritual consciousness, internal potency, those that go together real nice, right? But the point is you can be in this internal potency with external consciousness, or you can be in external potency with internal consciousness. So the material world is still going to give all the problems that it you know, so wonderfully offers.
So what should my attitude be towards those problems?
Those are things that come along to please Krishna.
Okay.
It's not a problem. Okay, just like this. Okay, let us say, okay, you know, the how you say, you know, after doing, you know, all the idiots who, you know, somehow or another put it together, then, you know, how you say, you know, hitting golf balls or, you know, weird sounds, going, you know, all these different things like that. Then you're going to get into something, there'll be some light music playing, right? The guy's walking along, and then it'll cut over to the girl doing something like this and that, right? And then somehow or another, they'll go out and start walking this one, and that one goes that way. And then somehow or another, they bump into each other, right? Doesn't make any sense?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Does anybody else know what I'm talking about?
Chick flick. Huh?
Okay.
Yeah.
Now they bump into each other. They hit it off really good, and they decide, "Hey, you know, let's get married." And then you know, the music swells up, they pull back, pan back from the seas, the credit comes on. Okay, cool? Good movie?
For some, I guess.
not me.
Okay, wrong example. This is getting nowhere for this. Okay.
I don't want to limit anyone, you know? Like,
it's not a matter of, it's not, you're not in control to limit or not. That's the whole point.
Are you asking for my opinion or general?
I'm not talking about your opinion here.
Okay.
We're talking about, if there are no obstacles, then you know, somehow or another, means if it's, there's emotional obstacles, then if there aren't any, then what's the interest?
Okay. The interest for me or for Krishna?
The interest in general.
Okay.
This is a generic, we haven't gotten specific here.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so the point is it's the obstacles that make things interesting. Okay? So you just have to see it in that light, that any obstacles that come up, it's just something to make it more interesting for Krishna. You know, how do you deal with those obstacles?
Are you asking a rhetorical question?
No, that was actually an explanation. It wasn't a question. That's maybe why you thought it was rhetorical.
Okay. Yeah. So things that might, like, essentially not appear to please Krishna, they actually do.
It's not the thing that pleases Krishna. It's what you do with it that pleases Krishna.
Okay.
An obstacle is not pleasing, it's what you do about the obstacle.
Okay. So I can have a hard time with the obstacle, but then in the end, if I turn it into something pleasing to Krishna, then Krishna's happy?
Yes.
Okay.
Whether you get over the obstacle or not, it doesn't matter. It's how you deal with the obstacle. What's your mood in dealing with the obstacle? Okay. Does that work? Okay. Yes.
When devotees comes as a demon to facilitate Krishna's pastime, are they in the same categories of conditioned jivas under the external energy?
Or what do you mean by same categories?
Are they covered by yoga maya or by maha maya?
Means, and when you say devotees that come as demons, you have
I
some. Okay. Means what? You know any others?
I'm not sure if I remember correctly, but once I heard or read that actually only devotees comes to facilitate Krishna's pastime to serve him as the demons.
Maybe, maybe not. But unless you're sure, then. But the point is, okay, Jaya and Vijaya, okay. So the point is they're working under yoga maya, but they're, you know, the consciousness that they're having is basically, their experience is that of material. You know what I'm saying? Now, one thing in all these kind of questions like this is because these are all definitely intellectual possibilities. But the point is how are you going to use this? You know what I'm saying? It's one thing we could come up with unlimited ways of doing something. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you know, the banana split, you know, okay, now does it matter how we split the banana? You know, does it have to be exactly down the middle? What if it's one-third, two-thirds? You know, is it still called a banana split? Or is it a banana kind of split? Or, you know, like that. What happens if we cut it instead of this way, we cut it this way? Or what if we do it at a diagonal? What if we split it into four, you know, like that's getting really, you know, avant-garde here, you know? So then we put the two, and then we put some stuff, and then put two more on the top, and all that, you know? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it means, but what's the advantage? Does that make sense? Because otherwise what's starting to happen now is we're seeing intellectual possibilities here. But the thing is, you have to make sure that that's going to have some meaning in your application. Otherwise, the point is anything you're giving examples, you can always find an exception. Because that's the way everything's made, right? So that's why you have internal, external, and tatastha. It has qualities that are here, there, different like that. So the point is, in other words, when we're running through these things, see that going through is actually going to have a usefulness, right? By doing that, then we understand, okay, this and that. Because then the point is then we get into, well, all those demons are all devotees of Krishna, so therefore the demons are all devotees, and then sometimes I have demoniac mentality, but then that's also okay because I'm here in Mayapur and I'm doing service to Krishna, so therefore it's actually still devotional. So therefore me being a demon is actually supportive of Krishna's pastime. So actually I don't even have to get anything together. You know, you understand? You have to see where will it go? No, the point is it's demoniac mentality. Whether devotees are taking the demoniac mentality or not doesn't matter. Arjuna is in illusion on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He's attached to his family members. It doesn't matter if it's a devotee under Yoga Maya or if it's a materialist. The point is the mundane consciousness is a problem. Does that make sense? Yeah. Excuse me. Sorry.
Turn it on. This one play.
Do you have the manual somewhere?
I press this one and it'll switch off the recording. Then start the new file again recording.
That's weird. Because I also press this one. Record. Then you press it a little bit and then it pauses. They usually do it. It's really complicated.
Maybe for this class it's better to use your own.
Because in here, as we're discussing things, and then you're giving examples. It's not that now the discussion, the example becomes the discussion. The example is only trying to understand the actual point being made. Like that. Does that make sense? So we're actually discussing the positions of the gopis. You know what I'm saying? So if by asking that we'll want to appreciate more the position of the gopis, then it's nice. But if not, then... Does that make sense? Because the last four or five questions have been kind of going in that direction. You know, taking examples and then trying to work into that. You know what I'm saying? Which is all right if you can connect it all the way back, but otherwise... Okay. Thus all the devas are the vibhinamshas of Krishna, and their devi wives are vibhinamsha expansions of the chit shakti of the Lord. Prior to the appearance of Sri Krishna, Brahma instructs these devis to take birth in order to please the Lord. They then appear either in Braja or in Dwarka, according to their individual ruchi and sadhana. The devis who take birth as Vraja gopis do so because of their intense innate desire to attain Krishna, and they become the prana shaki, assistants to the Nitya Priya gopis, who are ultimately their source. Okay. So, just like Brahma, he instructs all the devas to take birth, you know, for the Lord's pastime, so then these devis also then are taking birth there. Didn't he mention that here the five different kinds of gopis? Just trying to see where they were. No, it's before that. It means where it tells all of them that the Sakis, Nitya Sakis, Priya Narma Shaki, Yeah, I can't see it. But maybe I think it's in the previous book. Okay. Vijaya. The Upanishads took birth as gopis in Braja. Did any other presiding devis of Vedic Shastra appear in Braja? Goswami, the Sri Shrikanda of the Padma Purana states that Veda Mata Gayatri Devi, the mother of the Vedas, was born in Braja as a gopi and attained the association of Krishna, at which point she acquired the form of Kama Gayatri. Vijaya, yet it is not true that Kama Gayatri is anadi, beginningness. Goswami, Kama Gayatri is certainly anadi. However, within the material universe, there is a time when she first manifested as Veda Mata Gayatri Devi. Later in her Leela, inspired by the good fortune of the many Upanishads, she performed sadhana, on the strength of which she took birth in Braja along with Gopal Upanishad. As Kama Gayatri, she is eternal. Simultaneously, she is eternally existent as Gayatri Devi in a separate but eternal identity. Right? So, you're getting the understanding of what is here. Remember before we were discussing about Lakshmi, because Lakshmi can't give up the mood that I am the Lord's wife, therefore she can't become a gopi in Vrindavan. Because the gopis, their mood is, I am the paramour of Krishna. Right? I have a husband who's not Krishna, and Krishna is my lover. But Lakshmi, she's not going to say that, you know, Krishna is not my husband, someone else is. No, Krishna is her husband, so therefore she can't actually enter into Braj. Even though she appreciates the mood of the gopis, she actually can't take on that because her identity won't change. Does that make sense? So here is also, as you have the element of that Gayatri, she can take either of these two moods. So, as the mother of the Vedas, therefore that's one mood, but she can also, then we can see, she can take on that other mood that she's a gopi. Therefore she can be in both. Does that make sense?
So then Kama Gayatri originally came from Krishna's Shruti.
Yeah, Kama Gayatri is originally in the spiritual world because the Maha Mantra is the first manifestation, first mantra. And then the next is the Kama Gayatri. And then Kama Gayatri expands down to the Brahma Gayatri, because Brahma is what actually creates everything. Everything's created from there. Like that. But depending upon you know, the particular manifestation, then Brahma, he will create. In other words, the Veda means you have all the expansions of the Gayatris down to Brahma Gayatri, then what comes through into the material world's Om, right? Then that expands into Bhurbhuva Swa, that expands into the Brahma Gayatri, that expands into the Purusha Shukta, the Purusha Shukta expands into the Veda. So like that, you get the Vedic literatures. So you could say the Gayatri is the mother of the Vedas. Does that make sense? But the... So like that. Then, and the Gopal Upanishad is all about the, you know, the Gopal mantra and the Kama Gayatri. So therefore, then, that's the masculine aspect of that she is the potency of. So then the two of them appear. Does that make sense?
Yes. So this is an original mantra.
Yes, Kama Gayatri is originally in the spiritual world. Yes.
We see that some great personalities like Gayatri, they can have expansions. Like she's there, and still she's a gopi.
Yes.
And like Devis, they also go like that? Or not necessarily?
Not necessarily, you'd have to see. But the point is that they become, see, is that one's not dealing with any particular personality, so then one will accept it in a generic kind of sense. But then Gayatri, then she's a known personality, so therefore then we start to worry about it. You know what I'm saying? But for the there is that those potencies are always there, and so they also are servants in Krishna's pastimes. In other words, as his internal potency expands, then they're all servants of Krishna. It's the same way as Krishna expands. So, like Krishna expands as Balaram, Balaram expands as, you know, Krishna's shoes, his flute, his Brahman thread, the umbrella, his bed, his seat. So, but they're also serving. So they're serving Balaram, serving Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing with Swayam, everything is connected. Because if you have it, let's say Krishna expands, and as we have the 24. Right, means you have the 12, it means you have the four main Vishnumurtis, right? Those expand into the 12, right? And those 12 expand in, you get the 24, right, of all the Vaikuntha deities. Now, taking one of those lines, the Sankarshan line is going to be different from the Aniruddha line. You understand? So, therefore, the flavor of the internal potency is different, so they don't match with the other one. Does that make sense? Though at the same time as Sankarshan has all the attributes. But what makes them unique as Sankarshan is the predominance, right, of what I said, Bala and Jnana. Right? So that knowledge and that you know, power, that kind of thing, that's what makes him unique. Right? While Aniruddha, then it will be the, what is it, Shakti and Tejas. You know, so that's what makes them. But all of them have all the qualities. So because that's prominent, that means his internal potency will be prominent in that way to match it. So that's different from the other. So then you wouldn't see Aniruddha's Shakti with, you know, Sankarshan. You understand? Mm-hmm. But Krishna being the source, all of them can serve him. So it's natural that all of them will take part in this, in Swayam Krishna's pastimes, in this manner as gopis. Does that make sense? Yes.
And a human gopi can appreciate the service of another gopi.
Yes, of course. Because everything, it means every gopi will be unique. There's general categories, but within the category, everyone's unique. You know what I'm saying? Just like you say, there's women. Right? And so it's generic. So the whole universe, like that. So Shiva's wife acts in a particular, Indra's wife, they all have the common element of, because women. Then you can say within the particular species. Right? And so then within that, then they'll act in a generic kind of way, which is more specific than the overall feminine. But still within that, they're still unique as an individual. Does that make sense? So you have the different kinds, how the potencies are expanding, that they'll have a general kind of flavor, but each one is unique in itself. So So that way Krishna has unlimited potency. But they go back to three main categories. Is that what you're saying? Okay. Vijaya, the Nitya Priya gopis are the consorts of Krishna from a time without beginning. So is their love for Krishna as an upapati constructed by the Maya Shakti. Goswami, yes. The upapati relationship is conceived by the influence of Maya, but not the mundane Jara Maya. Mahamaya of the material world cannot even slightly touch Krishna Lila. Although Vraja Lila is performed within this material world, Vraja Lila is nevertheless completely transcendental to the illusory material Jara Maya. Another definition of Chit Shakti is Yoga Maya, and in Krishna Lila she creates a very special effect, enveloping the Lila and coloring the eyes of the mundane observers so that they see the pastimes from a very external point of view, completely different from the actual transcendental quality. Does that make sense? So in other words, since they've always had this identity of serving with Krishna, right, as his consorts, then how does this come up? Right? So is this by the influence of Maya? So yes, by the Yoga Maya. Because the point is here's God. So how do you think I'm his lover, I'm his parents, right? God is the origin of everything, right? So, in other words, God has expanded his chit potency, right? And then the chit potency expands so many other potencies. So that means Mother Jashoda is an expansion of the chit potency, right? Meaning here the Srup Shakti, right? So that's already two removed. And now she has the mood, I am Krishna's mother, and so therefore I am his source. So that's the effect of Yoga Maya. Right? So that's always been there. So it says since time, you know, that's there's without beginning. So that's always been like that. So it's Yoga Maya who creates this, yes.
All right. Could I say that the basis for many doubts which arise is that the faith in suggestion when you're here in material world?
Means why do we have difficulty?
Yes,
because we want to be able to see it. Because means our analytical, how do you say, as we were saying, the process we'll use is going by our experience. Yes. Right? And so the experience there then is going to be that of I am, of this world. So then when we try to analyze Krishna Lila, we're going to look at it from our own experience. And then the conclusions we're going to come to is by our own identity. So if I think I am intelligent, then I'm going to use my experiences, analyze them, and then come to a conclusion based on the principle that I think I'm smart and I can understand it. So where is there anything spiritual there? So that's why it can't be understood by material intelligence. But if it's a matter of, you know, we're basing it on the experience of devotional service, and I'm a servant of Krishna, then by the Lord's grace one can understand. Right? So that's the difficulty, is that we understand things through the intelligence, through intelligence means I start from the senses. Everything's coming in from the senses. And so I'm going to relate that for previous experiences with senses. So therefore, that's why pratyaksha is, you know, universally accepted. Right? You don't have a philosophy that accepts shabda but not pratyaksha. You have philosophies that accept pratyaksha but not shabda. Right? Because everybody goes by what my senses, that's real. And if I can't see it with my senses, it can't be real. Right? Does that make sense? But, yeah.
That's what the robin does when the car is coming. They just close their eyes and they're like the car is not there. So it's kind of low, very low consciousness, actually.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, I didn't know rabbits. That's what rabbits do.
The same.
Close their eyes.
Scientists do the same when we come.
Yeah. We always heard it in connection with ostriches. But I guess that for the rabbit, it's a lot easier. You don't have to dig a hole first and stick your head in it.
Right? Then there's the sound.
Yeah, I wonder if at any point they kind of somehow or another connect that it's non-existence by the eyes, but it's actual existence by the ears, if there's a conflict there intellectually. I guess you'd have to...
some serious
judge that, yeah, do studies by how many rabbits actually move or they don't move. Right? When the Nitya Priya gopis descend from Goloka to Vraja, Yogamaya accompanies them, bringing with her the Paroda Abhiman of Goloka. Right? So the same Abhiman that's there that I identify as that I already have a husband and I'm going out with Krishna as a lover, that descends from Goloka, that same mood. She establishes every Paroda Abhiman as an individual personality. For example, Abhimanyu in Vraja, right? So that every Paroda Abhiman. So that mood the gopi has is there, but that mood that I have a husband, she brings that along and then creates the husband, right? So example here, Abhimanyu and Vraja. When she arranges marriages of the Nitya Priya gopis with her own individual personified Abhiman, thus installing Krishna as their Upapati. So in other words, you think I have a husband, though you don't actually have a husband, and then you marry that thought that I have a husband. Is that actually a problem? Right? So it's not that you're actually off with someone else. You know, so still, Krishna is their only, you know, love interest. Does that make sense? Yes. Yeah.
That's chaste.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. The omniscient Purusha Sri Krishna and his omniscient Shakis, totally absorbed in rasa, voluntarily acquiesce the sublime status and happily accept these pastime roles arranged by Yogamaya. Right, because they're omniscient, they know everything. Radharani knows everything. But they give that up, happily, it says, to be absorbed in Yogamaya's arrangements, that they have husbands, and, you know, then they have to make all kinds of tricks and arrangements to get away, to be with Krishna, and all these different things. This underlines the preeminent position of rasa and the excellence of the Icha Shakti in fulfilling the desires of the supremely independent Lord. Okay, so then the preeminent, so rasa is the preeminent, right? Atmaram is not the preeminent, because as Atmaram, he knows everything, he's all-pervading, sees everything, but that's not actually the preeminating taste. The taste is rasa, is actually the interaction, that's a higher position. But because Krishna, and I mean, all these expansions, that there's the element of expansion, there's all these different things of all facts, but here they don't care for the facts, right? Just like within the material world, by Jatamaya, then one doesn't care for the facts, one simply cares for what is the relationship, right? Does that make sense? You know, the mother is 60 years old, right? The son is 40 years old, yeah. Right? You know, he's a big guy. He manages, you know, so much in the world. You know, he might be the prime minister, whatever he is. But the mother is still, all those facts, those are all set aside. And it's simply, you know, you're working too hard, you got to take care of your cough, you know, dress nicer and all that. Don't stay up too late, you know, get some good rest, you know, all that, right? She doesn't, couldn't care less that this guy's big minister, there's all these guys standing around in suits with little things in their ears and looking very sober. She doesn't care about all that. This is her son, and he's not dressing properly for the weather. He's working too hard at the office, and that he should take care of himself, right? Does that make sense? So that's the point, is people don't mind. That's the difficulty, is we're thinking, no, by ignoring the facts, I will enjoy more. So therefore, when it comes to the facts, if I'm not this body, you know, and, you know, everything here is illusion, those facts we kind of want to leave because I'm getting some taste from that rasa, right? The same time is then, you know, we have the idea that, no, if I follow these things very nicely, then I will enjoy in this world. Right? So therefore, those facts I'm very worried about, because I take those as the basis for my being able to appreciate the material, you know, the rasa in the material world. Because then that position, why are the scientists so attached to their facts? Because that places them as the supreme controller and therefore the option of enjoyer. Right, but as nerds, they never really enjoy much. But you know, it's just that's Maya's trick. There's the option, maybe, right? You know,
and it's the only option. That's why they.
It's
so
the
hard.
Only option. Yeah, that's why they take it so hard. Yeah, okay. And the Icha Shakti is Krishna's desire, so that's fulfilled. But it's fulfilled through this arrangement, because the point is means. He has the desire, so it's his potencies take care. So it's Yoga Maya. She makes that arrangement. And so therefore all these things happen, and then he's pleased. Yes?
When you switch from like a material desire that you attach from into something, like into a spiritual, does that, do you have to go through a period of time where you're without taste?
No, no. Means that's the men have to worry about that. You don't. You just switch it from one to the other. Because that's the point. It doesn't make any sense to you. Men are, you know, okay, we're in this neutral position. When does taste happen? they have the opposite problem.
And do I have to endeavor for that? Or do I have, is Krishna just going through?
You have to want that.
I do want that.
Yes, so you just have to. But you have to keep wanting it.
Well, how long?
I would try to give an example, but my examples aren't working out. So.
Please try again.
So, we went through all the cars and found that it has to be an SUV covered with cow dung. Then it makes sense. Okay. Like that. Okay, there's this kid. You're taking care of the cows. This kid wants to help. Okay? Now, in taking care, then you tell him, don't leave the gate open. Right? The cows get out. Right? And in being very enthusiastic, and he went to do something, this and that, all taking care of things you told him to do, but he left the gate open. Okay? So now, after having, gotten everybody in arranged, got all the cows, got them back inside. Now, he feels bad, and he wants to, again, assist in that exact way, dealing with the gate. How long before he gets that opportunity?
Whatever he wants.
Just whenever he wants. He left the gate open, all the cows got out.
Yeah,
so you're just going to let him take care of the gate again?
Yeah, because he feels like he wants to try again.
Okay. Again, wrong example.
No, really,
okay. The 10th time he's left the gate open. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you get it. Okay. So now, but he has that sincere desire that he wants to, have the responsibility of the gate. But what are you going to wait for?
Until he's grown up a bit.
There's your answer. In other words, you have the desire. It's because he has the desire, that's why eventually he'll get the chance. But the point is that chance will come depending upon his having that maturity to actually be able to do it. So you want it, but you have to have the maturity. That means devotional maturity.
And I get that through devotional service.
Yeah, generally you don't get it in, bingo or Cracker Jack's box. So, stick to devotional service. That's the recommended process of the acharyas.
Okay.
Okay. That would be big, right? You got all the yentas sitting around, and this today's prize would be pure devotional service. Whoever wins the bingo match today,
the table will be empty.
Huh?
The table will be empty.
Yeah, that's the problem.
The thinking shot hasn't changed from yesterday.
Which?
The process.
Yeah, no, it hasn't changed.
Yeah.
As he mentioned, the process is eternal, so even tomorrow it will still apply. Right? Even the day after that, 10 days after that, you know. So the day after it applies, the day after tomorrow, that is still applies.
I might still.
And it still applies whether you're in New York or you're on the top of that mountain in Tibet. It still applies.
Okay. I might still keep asking you because I'm until I get secure about it.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
So that's the point, is there's the desire and then there's the security. So when you're completely secure about this desire, then that's when it gives the best result. It'll give result anyway, but you'll find it gets more result. You know what I'm saying? That means just like this. What's the difference between the person who's on stage at Broadway and the person at the karaoke? It's the same word, same song. What's the difference? In relationship to your question.
They've got confidence.
Right, that's the point. So you keep practicing.
Okay.
Schedule for today.
Oh, the schedule. Yeah. Means today we can run all three classes, but tomorrow we'll only be able to run the first one. Okay.
So next class is
at 10:30.
Yes. A topic.
I guess since we're running two and we only have two topics, the next one will be the Tête de Vivek, and then the afternoon will be the, we'll continue with Chaitanya.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki,
Samaveta
Bhaktivedanta ki,
Jainatai
Gaura Prema ki.